Q94, your Mountain of Rock. It's Free for All Freaky Friday and time to get the coaches show underway. Don't forget the 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Hirsch Feed and Farm Supply. And, you know, with the cooler weather, if you've got chores, projects, maybe you want to put in a food plot, maintain a food plot, Hirsch Feed and Farm Supply, they can help you out with all of that. Well, the coaches show kicks off with head coach of the West Plains Zizzers, Joel Wyatt. Good morning.
Morning, Gary.
Well, you had Friday night off, but you played last week. You played on Thursday, got the win. Your Zizzers are now 2-1 on the year. And you can relate from my perspective what I'm looking at because all the years just following the SEA. You know, you have this out of conference portion of your schedule. And then you go into your conference schedule and districts where I've always kind of looked at it as the season is broken up into three pieces, so to speak. You know, you got your out of conference and you, of course, you want to win all of them. You want a good showing, but then, you know, you move into your conference and you hope that all of that will really prepare a team to rock and roll come district. But with the Ozark Conference, now when you went down, you know, east, was it kind of similar where you're at now, or did you have a few out-of-conference games that you could – again, I don't mean, you know, people listening, I'm not saying you're throwing anything away, but you have a little more, I guess, self-awareness to try a few things, you know, prior to getting into the grind of conference.
Well, it's very different in the Ozark Conference because, you know, week one through week nine, they're all conference games.
Everyone.
So you got no non-conference, whereas, you know, down in the Boot Hill, the conferences, you know, there were no 10-team conferences. You know, you had the SEMO, North, South, East, and West, and you know, the conferences were much smaller, so you are having that non-conference schedule.
Do you personally, I mean, just personally, do you kind of like having a non-conference game or two on your schedule?
Well, I liked it, and even in the SCA, we always liked it. You know, whether we were, Steve and I were at Willow or at Mountain Grove, you know, when we were at Grove playing a Nixa or playing a Bolivar, you know, it's just always gives you a little excitement because it's not an every year opponent you're seeing. So I know the fans liked it as well.
Yeah, you know, now with we're here in the Ozark Conference, you know, like you said, every week. I mean, it's do or die. You know, it's climb on and conquer. It's rolling along. Of course, it's so hard to gauge teams. You know, this still yet this early, but I think a lot of people are having a better idea of kind of who they are and what their opponents are. Is that you know, West Plains, you guys have a pretty clear identity now, you think?
Well, pretty much. When you get to week four, you know, usually after that fourth game, you know, teams, even half our teams in those are conference with new coaches. You know, these teams with new coaches have pretty much put a lot of their stamp on their program and at least what they're trying to do offensively and defensively. So, you know, there's still a little bit of feeling out your strengths and weaknesses, but for the most part, I think after the first four games, you've got a pretty good idea.
Well, you know, here we are week four, and talk a little bit about some of your players, Coach, that, you know, have really been ringing the bell that you know, you would like to acknowledge here on the coaches show.
Well, from an offensive standpoint, everybody talks about Briggs Houston. You know, we knew he was going to get all the headlines, you know, committing to Northern Iowa and a 6'6", big target out there. So we knew he was going to get a lot of the ink as he deserves. But, you know, Rylan Kinslow is a guy that really had an outstanding three-game stretch here so far. And a lot of people probably didn't know about him. He's a little bit under the radar. But myself and the other coaches, were not a bit surprised. We knew we knew he was going to, you know, have a, or we expect him to continue and just have a great year. And then Isaiah Jones at quarterback, you know, he had to wait in the wings under Aiden Simpson last year, who had a great year. But, you know, we knew we weren't going to fall off there with Isaiah. You know, he's strong-arm kid, tough kid, sharp. You know, he's got high football IQ.
Is he real coachable?
Oh, definitely. Super, super kid. Couldn't ask for a better kid. Great leader. You know, not afraid to get on his teammates, even though I wish he'd do a little more. We had a little talk about that yesterday. But sometimes that's tough for teens to understand, because those, you know, those are their friends, their buddies. But you know, he's had a great three game run as well. And so from the offensive standpoint, you know, we're very pleased with those guys. Our line is still developing. You know, there's been a few growing pains there, whether it's in the run game or the pass protection. But got a lot of faith and confidence in those guys, and think they're just going to get better and better. You know, we're getting Maddox Hawkins back tonight. You know, we think that's going to be
– that'll be a big boost.
It's going to be a big boost, even though the guy that filled in for him, Shane Curtis, we thought he just did an exceptional job filling in for him. You know, I told you at the beginning of the year our run game was probably going to be run by a committee, and it kind of has, even though Remy Wilson's got the bulk of the touches, and he had 95 yards last week against Hillcrest.
There you go, Remy.
On I think just 9 carries, so he did a good job for us. Then, you know, from the defensive standpoint, again, there's been a lot of solid contributors. We've pulled up a handful of sophomores to really contribute. You know, we had to play a lot of kids against Glendale because of the scheme and all, and to keep bodies fresh because we got so many two-way players. And then they continued right along into Hillcrest with that depth. So we pulled a lot of sophomores up, but without a doubt, I think, you know, you got to mention Alex Judd as our leader of that defense. You know, our Mike linebacker and the one that sets the table for us. So he's been really good there. But, you know, we've had some surprises there. You know, Dallas Roberts, for example, you know, he's a linebacker, but he got thrown in at some defensive end in some spots. And he was our MVP on the defensive side against Hillcrest. You know, he's got 2 interceptions as well. You know, and then Ryland and Briggs on the back end have done a good job in coverage, and Briggs has had to roll down and play some outside linebacker for us. And so D-line, we're playing a lot of kids, you know, led by Jackson Hunter. So Dawson Howe, Dylan Brigman, you know, those guys are getting all the defensive reps with some rotation from, you know, Lance Norton's been an outside linebacker for us, and then Warren Lawson inside, and Will Stauffer at corner. So playing a lot of kids, and they've all had moments of bright spots for us.
Well, and, you know, we talked about this prior to the season going. Now, as the coaching staff, developing that depth, you know, because that is going to be so crucial later on in the season, isn't it?
Most definitely. You know, we feel like we're not like – or we feel like we're different than every other team in the NEOC because of our lack of depth and because of, you know, our way of playing our best kids, whereas some, they're dead set on 2 platooning, and, yep. and I get that. So you get more kids to play, you get more kids that are fresh, you get more kids getting all the reps on that side of the ball, mm-hmm. so they perfect their craft just on that side of the ball, you know, where we've got to split our practices up, offense and defense, and, you know, our kids have to learn both sides of the ball. So it does make a difference. And, you know, on Friday night it makes a difference when you're trying to coach your kid and you're looking for him on the sideline. Well, he's out there on the field, yeah. So you can't coach him. So, you know, we're in a little bit different boat. You know, Bolivar plays – a handful of two-wayers as well, but I don't think anybody compares as to the amount that we play.
Well, tonight, you know, again, it's week four, and it's homecoming. Parades at 1 o'clock in West Plains, but your opponent is the Rolla Bulldogs, and I kind of had, you know, high expectations for Rolla a couple years ago, but they've, you know, they've stubbed their toe a little bit. They're coming into this contest 0-3. What are you seeing out of the Bulldogs?
Well, they're another one of these teams that have a new coach, and Derek Heflin came from Washington, Missouri, and he had some success there. I think way back, early 2000s, he was an assistant at Houston, so he's got some SCA ties, but he's a Rolla grad. But he's coming back home, and you know they're still kind of searching for their identity as well, even though they know what they're wanting to be.
Right.
is an option football team, a Veer team, and 4-2-5 defense. So you know that's what they've ran. So still playing a lot of young kids, I believe. You know, they've got a really, really talented sophomore class, and a lot of those kids are playing on Friday night.
Now, also, there was an announcement made, a little change in the freshman JV schedule. Monday night, it's just going to be a combined game with Rolla, correct? That's freshman and JV will be. And that's going to be kind of a good look for you guys, right?
Yeah, we want to play two games, mm-hmm. Even though we're so close and having to only play one, but we were all for playing two, and then Rolla called yesterday, and you know, it was late yesterday, so they've got 35 freshmen.
Wow.
So their JV is going to be those freshmen and then a few of those sophomores. So they've bumped so many sophomores up to varsity that they're JV has been depleted, but yeah, we're gonna keep it similar to what we did in the Glendale game with the JV and freshmen and kind of split it up a little bit. But we really want to play two games, but I think a lot of teams in the OC are getting in that same boat.
Well, you know, we can't finish this show without acknowledging a legend for the West Plains Zizzers and of recent, Connor Lair. What a beast of a football player. I think every coach, you know, at night they lie their head down on their pillow hoping for a Connor Lair on their team, a team leader, a good young man, hard worker. But last week he was diagnosed with cancer, and he's going to begin treatments here really soon. Numerous accolades Connor won while being a member of the Zizzer football team, and of course now with Missouri State. And actually, he was diagnosed and ended up playing that Saturday. You know, I know there's still some young men that are Zizzers that know and respect Connor. You know, thoughts and prayers, and what are you hearing from your team?
Well, Connor's got Hodgkin's lymphoma, and with our team, it really hits close to home because these seniors were sophomores. You know, when they had that run in the quarterfinals, and Connor was, you know, I believe either the Ozone or the News Leader Player of the Year.
Yeah.
So those. Our seniors right now, you know, they really looked up to him, and rightfully so. And so, you know, it was kind of a punch in the gut to those kids. And, you know, I did not have the pleasure of coaching Connor, but I have run into him a handful of times, and we've texted a little bit. And just, you know, besides being a great athlete, great football player he is, he's always been real respectful. I've heard nothing but positives from the guys that got to coach him that are still on staff, and Coach Dixon and Coach Smith. Mm-hmm. So, You know, it's a very unfortunate deal. We've kept him on our minds and in our hearts all week with some prayers for him at the end of practice. And we got some shirts made we're going to wear tonight as coaches, and then we got some helmet stickers that are really cool looking, and we're going to pass the bucket around tonight. And
expense that they're going to incur with the travel, it's pretty hefty.
So our athletic department, led by Dr. Cooley, they're really on board with this thing, and there's going to be some helmets, not buckets, but helmets being passed around, I think, tonight at the gate, and Connor's jersey will be up there when you enter the stadium. So, we're really going to do our best to help that family, and again, our prayers go out to Connor.
You ever had a running back? I've heard some stories, Connor, in high school football games, really get mad at the coach. He wanted the ball more. Like, feed me, give me, I'm ready, I'm going. You ever had, a player come up to you like that and say, come on, coach, ride me, son, I'm ready?
Oh, yeah, the good ones, the great ones are always barking in your ear. they don't care if they had a negative run on the previous carry or it's third and 12. I can get it, coach. And that's the mindset of the great ones. And that I'm sure, like I said, I didn't get to coach him, but I'm sure that was Connor's.
Well, hey, Coach Joel White of the West Plains Zizzers, we appreciate you coming by. Again, it's homecoming. The parade's at 1 o'clock, and, of course, kickoff 7. You can catch it all on Hot Country KDY live video stream to OzarkRadioNews.com. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Gary.